You're listening to SBS News.
First one is to try and have a greater connection with grassroots women organisations, particularly migrant groups, reaching out to local and community organisations and getting them to be part and active parts of membership of the Alliance, because we do need to get their feedback so that it can feed into our advocacy for them in different spaces with governments and non-governmental organizations. The second part is then to reach out to institutions. Generally, I mean, the common stakeholders are, you know, governments and non-for-profit, but I'm quite interested to see what other collaboration can exist even with universities and research centres, and see whether there are core areas of interest that we can collaborate on or be able to inform the process. And the idea of that is that we need to sort of start filling in the gap between migrant women and assisting that transition and integration into the wider society. And one way you do that is by working with existing institutions and bettering their response to the needs of migrant women and the women involved in the Alliance. So that's the second one. And the third main one is the change that is occurring now, and I think has been accelerated by COVID-19, which is our heavy reliance on technology. Digital literacy, increasing digital literacy among migrant women, and also identifying the gap, because we are noticing that in some areas they are being left behind as more and more government services and indeed other services begin to transition online, and most of them don't have the necessary skills to be able to operate in kind of what some has termed as the fourth industrial revolution, which is, you know, technology taking over massive aspects of our life. So yes, an emerging focus on digital literacy.
And how have you seen that gap in literacy or in digital literacy play out through the pandemic?
Well, the first is even the means by which government is communicating health messages, the difficulties in that area. The fact that now a lot of government services have transitioned online, and when you have a woman who doesn't have any computer literacy skills, who can't navigate a website, who can't make an application on their own, and now can't attend certain services, it really makes it really, really hard for them to participate in the kind of the society we kind of find ourselves now, and that all we've been pushed through by COVID-19. Mm. But that's what we're hoping to do, you know, from the basic, from being able to encourage different organizations to invest in that area, in educating and training women to access things online or creating alternative forms of access. And so that's one of them, to the very end, which is to encourage, you know, more young women of migrant background into STEM, entering into STEM. So it's the whole spectrum of things. And also to begin to really look into building a knowledge base of what are the challenges and how widespread are they and the different ways that we need to target it. What a woman in her 60s or 70s needs is not the same thing social media survey teenager needs. You know, so understanding and mapping out the difference in the skills that are required and the training that requires is one of going to be one of the main focus. And this has not necessarily been an area of focus generally. I think a lot of the services that tend to target migrant women tend to focus on things like financial literacy and empowerment and other forms. And I think they're really caught up in those spaces. But what is emerging as our new world is how technology is in all areas of our life, and it needs to be a new area of need that needs to be identified and addressed.
It's been about 3 or 4 years since you started speaking out a bit more, and particularly around issues of race. I'm interested what your response is to the the racism that has spread and evolved throughout the pandemic, targeting different groups. Are you surprised by it or not?
No, I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised at all. Racism has sort of been the pandemic that has always been there, and it's not surprising. And it's been I'm lost for a word. It's been interesting seeing how some media organization tends to focus on the ethnicity or race of certain people when those groups have breached the law, will not have that particular interest. Though for me, it's just shows sort of the double standard reporting that has always been present. And so when you have, you know, black or brown child commit crime, then that's an African gang or something. And if you have, you know, a non-African or whatever kid commit crime, they're just a boy from Dandenong. Or when you, you know, when someone breach COVID rules, then it's just, you could even see the reaction, the different reaction to the anti-lockdown protest. You know, so the very same people that would take such a harsh tone to a person of who's a recent migrant breaking the rules are all of a sudden supporting this group of people, you know, right to protest the lockdown laws. And so it's really, and the only difference between those two groups really is that one is predominantly white. So I think it's kind of interesting seeing those stakes, but it's not surprising at all. I do think that how racism is used is definitely a business model. I don't think it's going to change anytime soon. That narrative maybe has been overplayed, that a lot of people now are not falling for it.